All right. Some great selections tonight. Beautiful name of Jesus. Sometimes I wonder what songs you're going to pick every week. And everyone's a good one. I don't know of a hymn in the hymn book that I don't like. They're just great. I'd like you to open your Bible tonight to Psalm 127. It's interesting that many folks talk of the greatness of the Lord and His ability to keep, and then they turn around and worry themselves sick over trivial matters and can't understand why. And, you know, Christmas should be a happy time. And I want all of you to have a happy, merry Christmas this year. And I want to give you 7 reasons why a Christian should not worry. 7. All right? In Psalm 127 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep." Isn't that a wonderful verse? It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. And let's pray tonight and ask God to bless our time together. Father, we are thankful tonight that on a Sunday night we can come here to this place with your people. We thank you for our church home. And we ask you, Lord, as we are really getting into the Christmas season, that you'd help us to not only appreciate each day, but to enjoy it, and help us not to worry or to fret over things that we cannot change, and help us to keep our eyes upon you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's possible that you can even become physically sick because of worry. Some people worry because they're well. They're well and they're worrying that they might be sick. I know someone who worries a lot. They're well, but they're worried that they might become sick. And so I suppose there are any number of reasons why people worry. Some people worry now about, I'm sure a lot of people that are not born again, they're worrying about Iran. They're worrying about Iraq. They're worrying about other places where there's possible conflict and wars and rumors of wars. A lot of people are worried about Islam. And we could go on talking about different things that people worry. But I'd like you to look at Romans chapter 14. And we have to look at worry as what it really is. Worry is a sin. Did you know that tonight? Amen. Can you say that with me? Worry is a sin. And if it's a sin, it needs to be repented of when it happens. But Romans 14:23, the Word of God says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And it's impossible to have faith and to worry at the same time. When we're worrying, we're not experiencing our faith. And when we're in the faith, we're not worrying. And so it's a paradox there. When we're guilty of worrying, we stop trusting. And people are afraid of different things. They worry about different things, as I said. Some have a worry or a fear of heights. Some have a fear of crowds. I was a little bit full of anxiety yesterday when it was like 10,000 people in Manhattan trying to make me go different ways. I felt really helpless. I thought, man, if that light doesn't change soon, I'm going to be going down the wrong street. And I looked up once, and Mrs. Janke was way far ahead. I said, "Hey, how'd you get up there?" That's how crowded it was in Manhattan last night, towards the evening. But I often think of a fellow by the name of Joe Blazak, who was a good friend of mine in Buffalo, New York. He's in heaven now. And Joe was afraid of heights. And no matter what he tried to do, he couldn't conquer his fear of heights. And he loved to visit in the hospital and the nursing homes. But if you got sick and you're on the second floor, forget it. He couldn't see you. And as much as he tried to overcome it, he just had this fear of heights. And people spend a lot of time worrying and fretting and being miserable when they could be happy and trusting Christians. We all have stress. Some people say, well, it's easy for you to talk about not worrying. You don't know the problems that I have. Do you know that everyone has problems? Everyone has stress. And everyone has choices that they can make. You can choose to trust. Did you know that? You could also choose to be happy. We cannot make people like us. We have no control over what people think, over what people say. But we do have control over our own choices in life. If I spent my whole week worrying about what people thought of me, I'd be depressed. Amen? We have no control over what people think. We have no control whether certain people like us or not, or we're acceptable to them or not. But we do have control over us going to the Lord each day and finding the grace that we need to live our lives. But I'd like to share with you a few things tonight. Number one, worry is hard on your physical condition. That's one reason not to worry. You shorten your life when you worry. It's a known fact. Many people are sick today that could be well had they not worried. I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. There's a hymn we have and we sing once in a while, Why Worry When You Can Pray? It's a great tune. Luke 21, 26. Maybe we can sing that when we end our study tonight. But Luke 21, 26. Or you can listen. Men's heart, talking about the last days, verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Does that sound a little bit like today? Distress. It's like the world is having a nervous breakdown. The nations of the world have perplexed problems that no one can resolve. But there is someone in the background that's going to resolve them. He's hidden right now. And when the church is taken out of the way, he will be known. And the Bible talks about him as being the Antichrist. He will solve the perplexities of the nations. Right now, they can meet all the time. They're not going to solve the perplexities of this world, that's for sure. And notice, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And that's always a sign in the Old Testament even of distress of nations, the ocean, and how the ocean is always going, you know, just out of control, a storm. I love to fish, but I hate it when the seas are rough because you can lose everything that you ate the day before. And that's always a fear of mine now when I go fishing or I'm thinking about going fishing, the fear of what happened the last time I went fishing a couple of years ago. But the sea and the waves roaring, that's a picture of the perplexity of the nations. And notice verse 6, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so the Bible speaks about men's hearts failing them. People can actually literally have a heart attack because of worrying. Wow. We've seen it happen in, I'm sure, on a personal level, people dying of heart attacks because of fear or because of worrying. So one reason why a Christian should not worry is because worry is hard on your physical condition. And Luke 21, 26 tells us that heart attacks start by worrying and fretting. And it can just build up and build up and build up in anxiety. Oh, there's nothing worse than being anxious and having anxiety and having and fretting and having a vexation of spirit. Worrying, number one, is hard on us physically. Secondly, worrying accomplishes nothing. Now, you can rationalize worrying if it would help something. You could rationalize fretting if something could be accomplished by it. If you could measure it on a scale and say, well, if I worry this much, then this could be accomplished. But we know from actual experience and also from the Word of God that worrying accomplishes nothing. In Matthew chapter 6, please, and verses 25 through 27, we shouldn't worry, secondly, because it doesn't accomplish anything. Therefore, I say unto you, Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking about anxiety. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life, the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Amen. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Not a thing. We can't get taller by worrying. If you're short, I'm sorry, that's the way God made you. If you're tall, I'm sorry, that's the way God made you. If you have red hair, well, there are options because of the technology and the day in which we live. But for the most part, taking thought over your stature is not going to improve you're getting taller or shorter. And this term is also used about living longer. Taking thought about if your life is longer or not is not going to help you live longer. On the contrary, worrying about how long you live may shorten your life. And so by taking thought, you can't add to your stature. You can't subtract from your stature. How many young people spend so much time worrying about things that are out of their control? Boy, I wish I was taller. I wish I was stronger. I remember when I was a teenager, I know it's a long time ago, it takes a lot of imagination for you to think that, about me being that young. But I can remember, some of you probably recognize the Charles Atlas. Remember Charles Atlas? He used to advertise in, Ricky's smiling there. He used to advertise in the magazines, and he had this iron body with a V-shaped and muscles everywhere. And the appeal went out to the younger crowd. If you write to me, I'll put you on a program that will make you look like this. And I was about 12 years old, and I looked at myself, and I looked at his picture, and boy, I'll tell you, he got my postcard. I sent away for it. I don't think I achieved it. But worrying about what you look like and what you don't look like is just a waste of time, according to the Word of God. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. And I'd like you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, please. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Charge. Don't charge too much this month. Amen. Oh boy, then you really have worries. Verse 25 through 30. This takes us to our third point. Worry is the devil's tool to turn our head from Jesus. And we go back into the Old Testament. And they took of the fruit of the land of their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the Lord, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to the heaven. Not too much imagination there. I mean, they're really magnifying their problems. These walled cities are so high, they go right up into the heaven. We'll never scale them. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there, the giants. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And they had decision to make. And some of them only saw the obstacles. Some of them only saw the giants. And Israel worried about those giants and turned against Moses and turned against God. And as a result of only seeing the obstacles and not claiming the promises of God, and the promise of God was for them to conquer the promised land. They had the green light. It was all ahead. Go. And yet, they rejected the positive report of two of the spies and they believed the majority rule of the 10 that said, we are not able. You know why they weren't able? They only saw the problems. They only saw the obstacles. They forgot the promise of God, that God said, I'll fight for you. Oh, it's a challenge, but I'll do it for you. And they saw the magnification of their problems. The giants were taller, the walls were taller, and the obstacles seemed impossible for them to overcome. And worry is the devil's tool to turn our heads away from Jesus Christ and be defeated and discouraged. They were defeated and discouraged before they even started. All they did was go out and view the promised land. They went out and they took some of the bounty and some of the fruit to bring back as a testimony, but they gave up. 10 of them said, we're not able to do it. And the 2 could not convince the rest. And everyone believed the majority report that it's better off that we stay in the wilderness. It's better off we're here and we complain and we gripe and we moan and we're miserable. Can you imagine 40 years living like that when they could have been in the land of plenty? The land of plenty is a picture of the Spirit-filled life. The land of plenty in Canaan land is a picture of what we have in Christ. God wants us to have a victorious Christian life. God wants us to have a good attitude. God wants us to be Spirit-filled. And yet so much of the time we live without, and we doubt and we fear. The average Christian doesn't think of worry as a sin. They don't compare it to robbing a bank. They don't compare it to adultery. Don't compare it to the Big Ten, amen, the Big Ten top list of worst all-time sins. And yet worry is a sin. And if it is a sin, it needs to be repented of. Why? It robs us of our joy. Amen. It robs us of our peace. It robs us of what God wants us to have. And so we shouldn't worry because it hurts us physically. It accomplishes nothing. It turns our head away from the Lord. We need to remember that God has promised to always be with us in spite of our problems. A fourth reason why a Christian should not worry. We shouldn't worry because 90% of what we worry about never happens. Think about it. Think of all the things that you dreaded before. And when it finally came to pass, it really wasn't so bad after all. And if you check back, you find out that the other 10% wasn't as bad as you thought that it would be. And so worrying was a waste of time, wasn't it? Worrying was hard. And things are never as bad as you imagine. It's when you dwell on the problem that they seem to really be bad, and it turns into a nightmare. And the more you think about it, the worse it gets up here. And so we shouldn't worry, because also it robs us of our joy. You know, the Christmas season is supposed to be a happy time. And it should be. It should be. But if we're not careful, we allow it to take control of us. Our expectations are not met. We think maybe Christmas should be this way, and we work to try and accomplish it. And when we find out that it doesn't work that way, we get, you know, a little bit upset. And so worry can rob us of our joy. I'd like us to look at an Old Testament scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19, please, as we think of the Christmas season being upon us. And it is upon us. It's here. Can't stop the clock now. It's ticking down. It's winding down. Christmas will be here soon, that's for sure. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah has a time of depression as he worries. In verses 1 through 5 of 1 Kings chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. Here Elijah got to worrying so much about Jezebel. He wound up under this juniper tree without his joy, without the joy that he had before when he was victorious. Yes, worrying causes us to be fretting. Worrying causes us to be depressed. And when we're not pleasing God, we are not pleasing God when we're worrying. There's other words for worry: anxious care, fretting, being vexed, agitated. As I said, we cannot control what other people do, what other people think. And if one worries enough, it could drive them to do something foolish that they cannot take back. And that's the sad thing about it. When someone is really given over to worrying, they start doing things that they wouldn't do if they were thinking right. And once those choices are made, they're made. Amen. And so when someone's worrying, they can make some very bad decisions. But here's Elijah under the juniper tree, and he's so down in the mouth and so depressed that he's praying for God to take his life. He's saying, Lord, it's enough now. I've had it. I'm done. I'm not better than my fathers. Take my life, Lord. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer all your prayers either? Amen. I mean, he's pretty down to be praying for God to take him home. He's pretty down to be praying that his life would be over. He could have answered his own prayer by just not running away and letting Jezebel catch him with all of her men, cutting his head off. Amen. But there's something inside of man. The man wants to survive. The spirit of man wants to always survive. And so did Elijah. But worrying robs us of our joy. It also grieves the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in our life. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we worry, because he is there to comfort us. He's there to give us peace. He's there to give us joy. In John chapter 14 and verse number 16, our Bible says these words. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of the believer. He's always with us. The world cannot receive him, but Jesus said, you have received him. And so when we worry, we grieve the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. Comforter means one that's called alongside to help. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's alongside us to help us, whether we're walking or running. Some of us used to run more than we do now. We walk. But even when you're running, the Holy Spirit's running alongside of you. But when we worry, we grieve him. And he says, what about me? Do you forget about me? I'm sent here to help. I'm sent here to comfort. I'm sent here to lead. I'm sent here to guide. I'm sent here to help. But when we worry, we're saying, we don't need you, Holy Spirit. I can do it all by myself. Like the little kid that wants to drive daddy's big car. Want to do it all by ourselves. And we give little Junior the wheel, and he's happy as a pig in mud. He's driving that car until the car goes off the road, and then, Daddy, take it. A lot of times in our life, we're like that. We say, God, I want to drive all by myself. Don't have to pray about anything. I'm doing fine until we go off the road. Amen. Then the fear grips our heart. But worry grieves the Holy Spirit. And lastly, worry is not trusting the Lord. When we worry, it's the opposite of trust. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. It doesn't say casting some of your care, because it's those other things that we don't pray about that gets us worrying. Those are the things we're to take to God in prayer, the things that we worry about, the things that we're anxious about, casting them all at the feet of the Lord. And worry is the greatest blow that you can deliver to the character of God. God is good, and God is gracious. And when we're worrying, we're saying to God, God, you don't love me. You don't care about me. God is saying, I do care about you. I already told you, cast all your care upon me, and I will help you. I will sustain you. And so worrying is not trusting God. And lastly, in Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Familiar verse. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we worry, we are not trusting God. When we're worrying, we're doing the opposite in our life. And you know, this Christmas season, 2006, I want you all to have a happy Christmas. I want you to all have a Merry Christmas. But I don't want you to worry. Amen? I want you to be joyful. I want you to be happy. Make your plans. Have a great time. But when you're tempted to worry, give it over to the Lord. There's a lot of things we have no control over. Amen? And so don't worry, because it's hard on you physically. You could shorten your life by worrying. It doesn't accomplish anything. It takes our eyes off Jesus. What we worry about most of the time never comes to pass. It steals us of our joy. And it grieves God's Spirit who lives with us. Lastly, it is not trusting the Lord. And when we worry, we need to confess it for what it is. Just as bad as robbing a bank with a gun. Amen? Sin is sin, let's face it, whether it's done in the heart or whether it's done overtly. And it's those little things that steal our joy and rob us of our peace. So let's ask the Lord to give us a great holiday season. When we're tempted to worry, we're tempted to fret. Let's turn those things over to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love for us. And Lord, we think of many reasons why we shouldn't worry, and all of them are biblical. Help us not to worry, Lord, and help us to follow you and to enjoy this holiday season. And Lord, help us to be prayerful about our plans and our expectations and the demands that we may put on others. And help us to take our burdens to you in prayer each day, casting all our care upon you because you care for us. You don't want us to hold back anything, but to cast every care. If it's anything that causes us some anxiety, then it's something that we need to bring to you so that we can have our joy and our peace. We ask you, Lord, to have your way tonight in our lives and prepare us for this holiday season, that we might enjoy it, that we might worship you in the way that you deserve. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.